Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live here, and it has been lively for sure these last couple of days. Eagles back from the bye week. It's kind of slow, and that all changed yesterday. First, the football side of things. The Eagles, a healthy team going into this extremely crucial game against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. Trent Cole back on the field, Jason Peters on the field as well. Both of those players expected to start against Dallas. Both of them very welcome back in the lineup. Brandon Graham going through practice yesterday. He will practice again today. Will he play this week? Well, that remains to be seen. A decision doesn't need to be made really until just before game time, because the Eagles understand that all they have to do is activate him anytime in the next 18 days. Now, they would have to make a roster move, no question about it, and take someone off the 53-man roster to make Graham active. But we'll see about that. I'm guessing, again, as I've said all week long here, I think it is a reach that he would be ready to go. But Peters and Cole ready to go. King Dunlap also back on the practice field as well. Now, we'll get to that top issue in just a moment, but we want to remind you, tune into Eagles Nightly tonight, 7 o'clock. A film room study with Greg Cosell, Adam Kaplan. It's really great, great stuff. And the focus tonight is the Cowboys front seven defensively. An outstanding front. How do the Eagles attack the Cowboys front seven on Sunday night? Back to Asante Samuel. Met the media in the locker room yesterday, and you know the story by now. Had some inflammatory remarks about the Eagles front office, and created a huge story. As the story developed, Andy Reid jumping in, issuing a statement, and then Asante meeting the media once again. So let's take you back to that. And what are we going to show first here? Andy Reid, the Asante Samuel press. Oh, the Andy Reid press conference. He first addressed. This story goes back a whole week here. Asante Samuel, the subject of trade rumors last week, did not get dealt. Was interviewed on a Philadelphia radio station and at the time said his feelings were hurt. So head coach Andy Reid addressing the issue yesterday, as we do this in chronological order, the idea that Asante Samuel was on the trade block.
Asante and I talk, so it's, listen, I'm not worried about that at all. He loves to play the game, and we're going to move forward.
For the fans, like I said, as long as I'm here, as long as I get paid on Tuesday, I'm going to go out and do my job to the best of my ability each and every Sunday. And I play for the fans, and I play for my teammates. That's what it's all about. You know, everybody have other issues, contract issues, whatever, and you just deal with it accordingly, like I always have. No, I'm happy here. You know, I've always been happy. I always expressed that, I always told that. I like playing ball here.
All right, so there you have Asante in the locker room. That was after the practice yesterday. Later, after meeting with the coaching staff, with front office, etc., Asante meeting the media once again.
So me and coach talk, and obviously I let my emotions get the best of me. And, you know, everything is good. I'm happy to be here, and everything is settled. And he explained to me how the business work, and I'm that more much educated on how the business work in NFL, and everything's good. Let's get a win Sunday.
And so there you have it. Now, Andy Reid also issuing a statement, which we show you here, and he's been through this before, talks about this group of cornerbacks, talks about the interest around the league in this group of cornerbacks, and, you know, what can you say? Asante is a valuable member of our team, and we appreciate all that he brings to this organization. During the course of Asante's lecture, I guess, or statements to the media, he also hinted that there might be some rift upstairs between Andy Reid and the front office. As for that, Andy Reid saying that both he and Howie are on the same page and Joe Banner on the same page and no worries there. So from an internal standpoint, it is a non-story anymore. Asante addressing his teammates, I'm sure. And it's just one of those things where Sante let his emotions get the best of him. He doesn't like to hear criticism. I mean, some players are, look, we've seen it for years with many, many different players. There are some that you kick, some that you kiss. Asante Samuel is one that you kiss. So I expect a very focused, very energized, and extremely productive Asante Samuel on the field on Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys. But we'd love to get your reaction to it. 215-339-6709. Let's talk about it. It's not the kind of story that you want to have the week before a huge game. You don't want to have this story at all, anytime. Especially from a veteran player who understands, hey, this is a business here. And there are going to be reports that aren't true. Turns out the Eagles didn't trade Asante Samuel. There was no intention to trade Asante Samuel. And the Eagles are glad to have Asante Samuel on this football team. He is here. He's going to play a huge part in Sunday night's game against the Dallas Cowboys. We hope this is a story that galvanizes the team and that focuses everyone. And the Eagles go out and beat the Cowboys. So all eyes are going to be on number 22, all of the 68,000 people in the stands, all of the media, the national television audience, which will get gigantic ratings. Asante Samuel is going to have to play a great game on Sunday night. Let's take a little break when we get back. We've got a busy, busy show for you. Adam Kaplan joins us in studio shortly. We go to the coordinators, Bobby April, Marty Morningwig, and Juan Castillo. And, of course, we take your phone calls. What do you think is going on with this football team? Are the Eagles ready to beat the Cowboys in a crucial, crucial game on Sunday night? Let's talk about it here on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Vic gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30. 25-20, McCoy in for the touchdown! A 49-yard touchdown lop by Shady McCoy!
Hi, I'm LeSean McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce, to our fresh veggies, to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better. Nobody does what Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. That's a large Papa John's pizza with your choice of one topping for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
We welcome you back. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. We come your way every day, 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, live from the NovaCare Complex. And a lively place to be. Andy Reid and Asante Samuel working through, I would say, a difficult day yesterday. I mean, we're not going to mince words here. It was a difficult day. This is where you find out about your leadership, both on the field and up in the front office. And Andy, I think, handled it perfectly once again. Issued a statement and... I mean, hey, what are you going to say? Asante just let his emotions get the best of him. Here again is the statement from Andy Reid. And I mean, again, I've been around here long enough to know that there are always issues with teams. Always, always, always. So let's just get this team playing good football, playing together football. And I mean, we all understand that Asante Samuel is going to be really, really focused, and the entire team's going to be focused. They got a big assignment on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Some highlights from practice yesterday. They will go inside today. Brent Celek working on his blocking techniques. This is the warm-up period. We are allowed to go to just a few minutes of the practice prior to Thursday. Actually, Wednesday's practice is just open for this little bit. Thursday is open for just a little bit, although we are allowed to go out and watch Thursday and Friday's practice, which I always enjoy. But today we'll be inside. It's a rainy, rainy day here in South Philadelphia. Tomorrow should be a little bit better, but Sunday, cool, dry, good football weather, and a great environment at Lincoln Financial Field. I promise you that. I promise you that. With the halftime inductions into the team's honor roll of late defensive coordinator Jim Johnson and Pro Bowl cornerback Eric Allen. All right, so one of the big assignments for the Eagles offense is DeMarcus Ware. He is a sack machine. He is a game disruptor. He's a great football player. He met on the team cam yesterday, a little one-on-one interview talking about the matchup, the Eagles and the Cowboys. So let's throw it down to Texas and DeMarcus Ware.
In the game, they got to sort of get him in early is what you say, but you got to you gotta be able to stop those big plays.
And how much do they build on that? I mean, they're not the grinded out type of offense, are they? They build on the big plays.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they do build on the big play, but they can grind the ball out with their little short passes, running screens, and I mean, that's what they do. And they run the ball effectively. I think they're the top, you know, rushing team in the NFL, and, you know, we got to be able to stop and make them one-dimensional.
Do you remember what Rob said July about the Eagles all hype team? Does that now come to the forefront now?
You know, I mean, I've looked at all the games that they play. How you doing, Terrence Newman? And they're better than what their record says. Just like we are, we feel like we're a better team than what our record shows. And it's going to be sort of one of those ride and die games, long drawn out games, and hope we come out on top.
When you think of Michael Vick, what comes to mind?
When I think about Michael Vick, it's probably one of the fastest, most athletic guys on the field, and you got to find some way to stop him. Corral the rabbit, because he can run, man, and he's what sort of keeps their, you know, stringing plays out and keeps their offense going.
You guys last year held him to his lowest running game of the year, I think only 16 yards. How were you able to do that?
He probably had about 3 spy guys on him. But you didn't get any pressure, but that's why, you know, he probably made some big plays on us last year that he shouldn't. But, you know, every year there's a different plan, and, you know, hopefully, actually, we know our plan is going to be effective this week.
Is he Bugs Bunny or Peter Cottontail?
Probably Peter Cottontail.
DeMarcus, what did you think when Rob said that? When Rob called them the all-hype team, were you know, he's putting y'all out there.
You know, that's just Rob, you know, saying what he says, and, you know, sort of we don't eat the cheese on what nobody says. It's just going out there and just play, and the coach can say what he wants to say, but you got to go out there and win games.
Has pressure to you guys when you ever had a coordinator like this since you've been here that puts pressure on you in public like that?
You know, with Rob, the way what he says is what he says. He says it, but we get out there and do it. And I think that's what the players are about. You got to have that confidence. You got to sort of have what you call that swag when you go out there and play. And we just saw the action, and he's the vocal part about it.
As one of the best, or maybe the best, pressure guys in the league, what do you do differently against Vic?
To be honest, I don't do anything differently. I get out there and I rush him the same way. I try to, you know, tackle him the same way. But you got to have some guys on a guy like Michael Vick. You know, you got to have some spy guys on him some type of way. You got to, you know, always got to have your game plan ready. You can't just go, because he's not a statue. He's not a statue just going to let you sit back there and, you know, get pressure on him. He's going to run and string plays out. So, you know, I got to put my running shoes on.
Is he the only quarterback you can't outrun?
Yes. Yeah, I'm not even going to lie. I can catch him and take him down, but, you know, if he gets a couple steps in front of me, nobody's going to catch him.
you talk about the NFC East being wide open. So if you guys can get off there Sunday night and get one at their place, that would be huge.
I think it's a big game for us. Anytime we play Philly, the Giants, Washington, any NFC East team, especially sort of what's at stake this time. Like I said, it's going to be one of those long, drawn-out, you know, beat-down games, especially just playing your conference. And we got to go up there and get a win.
You can line it up in different spots. Is it different when you go up against a left-handed quarterback? I mean, do you ever change your approach at all?
You know what? Sometimes it's a better thing because he sees me coming. You know, usually they have the back turned to me, but, you know, they can, you know, see the pressure coming from this time.
You don't seem to be the type of guy that hates anything, but have you been here long enough to have a strong dislike for the Eagles? Has that developed?
You know what I mean? It's not just the Eagles. It's any other NFC's team. I mean, we sort of know it's at stake. It's like you're winning two games at once when you're playing. You're playing to get a win, but also you're playing for the conference.
Okay, so much for that. We've heard enough from DeMarcus Ware, clearly. Let's hear from you now. 215-339-6709. Alex in Virginia. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
I'm doing okay, Alex. How are you?
Fine. I'm doing great.
I was disturbed last night, but I think everything has gone smoothly since then.
By the weather, Asante Samuel thing?
Yes.
I understand where he's coming from.
Why?
I mean, since you got him in free agency, he's been everything.
But who says he hasn't been?
I mean, I understand.
Name one coach, front office, who has ever criticized Asante Samuel here?
No one has, but as a player, from when they brought in Dominique Rodgers Cromartie and Nnamdi Asamoah, his name has been brought up in it. And
So what? I mean, that's part of the business. The media are paid to create stories. The media are paid to create sensation. So the Eagles brought in good players because there are teams like the Packers and the Saints that throw three, four, five wides out there and kill you if you don't have cover people. And the Eagles have always invested in defensive linemen and cornerbacks. So, you know, you want to not have good cornerbacks? I mean, you got to take it. The Eagles have paid Asante Samuel what? $35 million in 4 years, whatever it is. So I don't think he's been criticized at all. I mean, you have criticized his play, or when I say you, I mean fans. We have talked about, hey, tackle better, stuff like that. But that's not Andy Reid, coaching staff, Joe Banner, Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
I don't support what Asante said at all. I thought what he did was wrong, and I was glad that he apologized.
I think yeah, he could have went about it a better way of sitting down with Andy and them and finding out what was going on instead of going out to the media like he did. But then on the other hand, I still know that he's human. And when you hear stuff like that, it kind of gets to anybody
after a while.
He should have handled it better than what he did. He should have sat down with those guys behind the closed doors and talked about
Alex, listen, I mean, my thing is he's 31 years old. He's been in the league. Just don't talk to the media. You know what they're going to do with the story. If you are upset, he didn't get traded. So it's a moot point at that point. I'm glad that he apologized. I like Asante a lot. I think he's a great football player. But this team needs him and every player to think about the team, not about the individual situation. Do you think Ronnie Brown's pissed off that he signed a contract and doesn't get any carries and now is third string? Sure. Sure he is. He wants to play football. But you think Vince Young is happy that he doesn't even play? Well, I mean, he probably knew going in, hey, maybe this is the season that I had to suck it up. But these guys want to play football. But you don't say things to the media. Asante's 31 years old, 30 years old. He's been around long enough to know what people do to when there's a feeding frenzy on this story. He's going to have to live with this the rest of his season. So go out and play great football and deal with it later. Deal with your business side later.
Yeah, I believe he'll do that, though. Yeah. I believe he will.
I believe he will, too. And I think he's a great football player. I just wish, you know, just makes it tough. It makes it tough on everyone at a time when really the focus needs to be on beating the Cowboys, not on individual situations.
Yeah. But I think as long as he goes out this week and he performs, and I mean, not the couple weeks. I mean, I think it'll die down. I don't. As long as he keeps performing and playing, I don't think after 2-3 weeks, I think it'll be over with. It'll be done, and it'll be all about football or whatever. And as far as Dallas, I don't think they can handle it, period.
Well, if the Eagles play great football, then
nobody can. I don't worry about them. I don't think – the only thing I worry about with Dallas is winning over the middle. I don't think wide receiver-wise, I don't think there's a set of wide receivers that can deal with our cornerbacks. I just worry about the middle of the field with the tight ends, with the linebackers.
Yeah.
That's all I worry about with this team is that. I mean, the offense, as long as they stay doing what they're doing and just limit the mistakes and the turnovers that they make, I think we're a better team than what our record is.
Well, I mean, look, I would love to tell you otherwise, but until the Eagles turn it around, they're just a team with a 2-4 record to me.
Yeah.
So, cool. but look, so go get a victory this week and let's get some confidence, get some momentum. I just think the NFL is such a game of momentum, and the Eagles, I believe, have a little bit of momentum going after that win in Washington. I really believe they've got some momentum going. Hey, Alex, give me a prediction for the game.
24-13.
Okay, Alex, thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
All right, good stuff. 215-339-6709. We take a look at some of the work from yesterday's practice as the Eagles getting back into it. They have a walkthrough now, and then they go out in the practice field at about 1 o'clock, the special teams, and then after that it's the entire team. They will be indoors today. It is a rainy, kind of wintry day in South Philadelphia. So it's not beautiful, all right? It's just not a beautiful day. But it's a beautiful day to be with you. So give me a call, 215. We're taking predictions. We're talking Eagles. We're going out to Arizona right now, all the way out to Arizona. Let's talk to Jared. Hi, Jared.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm good, Jared. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem. Do it every morning.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right, so I got a couple questions here. First, I had season tickets for 10 years and got transplanted out to Arizona, so I'm a little bit upset about that. But
I understand.
You know, us losing 5 in a row at home concerns me.
Absolutely.
I would say over that 10 years minus the 3-13 season that I attended, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah. And, well, I wish I could tell you why. Now, I believe the crowd, I think it's a great in-stadium presentation. I think the crowd gets into it. I do think, though, that it also kind of changed with that Minnesota game, right? That when something bad happens at Lincoln Financial Field, the crowd starts to go, ooh, and they put their hands under their legs and they get real. They just almost expect something bad to happen. I've always said this. When Andy Reid's teams won a bunch of road games, and people always say, well, what do you do that's so special for this team to win on the road? The answer is that you had a really good football team. And if you have a really good football team, you win on the road, you win at home. I mean, the Eagles are a 2-4 team. The Eagles have lost 3 straight games at the end of last season. They are 2-7 in their last 9 games. I mean, until they show they're a good team, they're not a good team. So that's my answer.
Yeah, but
that's
everyone
my answer.
Keeps telling them that they're a good team, and that's the problem there.
Well, I don't think anybody's telling the Eagles they're a good team right now. I think the Eagles I think everybody's saying, "Hey, this whole dream team nonsense, this whole going to the Super Bowl talk, is bunk because it doesn't mean anything right now. You're 2-4. You're in last place in the NFC East."
What's the attitude like in Philly? Because I know I've been pumped up since Monday. You know, even last week I've been pumped up, even though we had a mediocre week of football last week, to say the least.
Yeah, indeed. People are getting back into it. Great rivalry, obviously. That game helps when you have the Dallas Cowboys coming to town. And, you know, the Eagles have to win the game. They are still in a ditch at the bottom of the NFC East, and they've got to win a football game. So my sense, from what I understand, yesterday's practice was very good. Players flying around, focused into it, a lot of energy. You know, let's keep it going. Let's go out there. See, I really think this. I think this, Jared, and I wrote this yesterday. There are many statistics that you look at and you say, what the heck is going on with this team? One of them, they haven't scored a point on an opening drive yet. And the last 2 years, they were 1-2 in the league in points scored on opening drives. It helps you when you get out to a lead. So hopefully the Eagles can do something.
Especially the way this team's built.
Yeah, well, we thought so, but then they blew leads against the Falcons, the Giants, and then the 49ers. So I can't figure out what this team is, but to me, this is now the time in the NFL, Jared, when all of the you now find out what your team is, because all that first month of the season, wacky, no off season, crazy times. We're gonna find out how good the Philadelphia Eagles are with games against the Cowboys, the Bears, and the Cardinals at home, and then oh by the way, a trip up the Turnpike to play the New York Giants, and then back with the New England Patriots. So yeah. it's a great schedule. It's a very challenging schedule, and it's a time to find out about this team.
Well, I hope I hope the defense and everybody pulls it together, at least to show Jim Johnson some respect, and obviously to win the game, because, I mean, one of the most disheartening games I've ever been to was, I think it was a Sunday night game when we brought in Reggie White, against the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
And we got murdered. I mean, it was 44-3.
Yeah, it was AJ Feely and Lofa Tatupu getting to know each other very well that night. The Eagles retired Reggie White and hung up the scrim that's in the north end zone now. And it was a terrible game. So, but the most recent honor roll induction was Randall Cunningham and Al Wistert against the Kansas City Chiefs. A few years back, and the Eagles won that game. So that's one of my good luck charms.
Yeah, we gotta pull together for Jim. Obviously, he did a lot for the franchise. Let me
as did Eric.
Let me give you a prediction here.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with 31-24.
Okay.
And hopefully it's not even that close. I want to see a dominant defensive performance and really show on center stage that we're here and we're not messing around.
Yep. Hey, Jared, thanks for the call. It is, to me, kind of a statement game to a national televised audience, to a national audience, to a division rival, to a team that some believe is the most talented group in the NFC East. When we come back, we talk to the coordinators. Bobby April will be first up, and we'll go through Juan Castillo as well as Marty Morningway. What do the Eagles have planned X's and O's-wise for the Dallas Cowboys? We find out in just a moment.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce to our fresh veggies to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better. Nobody does what Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. That's a large Papa John's pizza with your choice of one topping for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Forty years. 14,610 days, 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution, all for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series.
During the bye week, what were some things in the kickoff return game that you guys might have seen that could maybe can take advantage of moving forward, or was there anything in particular that jumped out at you?
Well, looking at ourselves, self-scouting, you said, yeah. The biggest thing we need to do is I talked a little bit about it last week, is just get in the right position to enter contact on the blocks. That's sort of been our biggest problem. And then even on contact entry, we've got to do a better job. So we've worked at it and trying to get the right personnel. You always want to make sure that, and that's my responsibility, to make sure that, you're matching the guys up with somebody they can block in space. That's part of the problem, too. You can't always match up everybody perfectly. And then they make changes and, So getting them to be in the right form, because the kickoff returns really are running play, And you've got to be in the right formation to run the play. If you're not in the right formation, if you're not in a good relationship with the ball, your chances of blocking a guy are not very good. So that's most of our problems. It's not effort or toughness. I certainly don't think it's the returner. I think even though he hasn't returned until this year, he's done a pretty good job of going up in there tough, carrying people with him for extra yards. We just got to block better, and I got to help him to get in position to block better.
Bobby, special teams are always important, but in a game like this with so much significance and so much emotion, is the tone you set on the opening kickoff, either in return or in coverage, can that set the tone for the entire game?
Well, I think, you know, it's always a tone setter, because when you kick off, or even when you receive, you're either starting a half or somebody just scored. So you have to regain the momentum with the kickoff return because they just scored. Or you have to maintain it with the kickoff coverage because you just scored. So you're coming off of one of those two psychological plays, and then you're also starting a half with that. So I think it carries, you know, not just, I think it is important, obviously. But I think it has that significance throughout the game in those situations.
Is there a possibility of using anybody else as a kickoff returner?
Well, we've worked some guys back there, but I unless coach has a different opinion, and I don't think he does, we would like to have more return yards and we'd like to have a better starting point, but we're not dissatisfied with Deion Lewis. We got to help him more. And then I think he's going to, whatever little things maybe he could have taken a little more advantage of, he's going to grow into those. And right now I don't think we have anybody that's a better returner than him.
How about with Deshaun? What are you seeing there in the punt return game?
Well, you know, Deshaun, I got to salute Deshaun. He has been more of a pro this year. He has been more focused, and has overall done a better job as a punt returner this year than last year. Now, I only have 1 year to gauge with him, but we've had, you know, he took a loss on one play trying to make something happen. It was, you know, a situation we'd like to avoid. And then we tried to reverse with Dominique and lost a couple of yards. And we haven't had a whole lot of opportunities to return. I think he's, you know, at any moment he could break out. And I think he's prepared himself to break out better this year than he has in the past. Now, couple that with his natural talent, his innate ability. I go in every game thinking we're going to break one. I just think that because I think the situation's got, he's kind of like a thunderstorm. You know, it's got a lot of things got to be right. But he has that ability to do it.
Are they still dressing the Cowboys? Are they still dressing two kickers?
No. They did against San Francisco. But I think that was just because, you know, Buehler's got a better kickoff leg. And Ted Ginn, you know, can hurt you fast. And I think that's the reason they did it for that one game. Now, Buehler's been hurt. I'm not sure how healthy he is. He practiced and everything. But I think more for you know, who they played, they'd like to have him do it when they think there's a guy that, you know, I mean, so they may dress him against us. I don't know. But I think they're just using one guy. They're using Bailey. Yeah, they're using one guy.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what you were saying as Deshaun is a better punt returner this year?
I think he came into this year. I think he's more focused, and this is an observation. You know, this is a judgment. I think he's I'm more pleased with his professionalism and his. I think he's grown a little bit, and I'm not comparing it to a negative. I'm just saying I think he's elevated. I think he's elevated his professionalism. I think he's elevated his overall. I don't know. I don't want to say maturity because, again, I'm not comparing it to a negative. I just think he's in a better place. We just have to provide him. We have to provide him with that opportunity to use that talent. I don't think it's been there for a lot of reasons. And again, the punter can take you out of a lot of things. It's just like a great batter. He's not going to hit a home run if the pitcher's pitching around him the whole game. And that happens to Deshaun a lot. So. But I'm pleased with him. I'm really happy with him, and I think he's prepared himself for when the opportunity comes to really take advantage of it. And I look for that every game. So when he doesn't return one in a game, a little bit I'm disappointed. I understand why, how. Maybe somebody missed a block. Maybe I called a return that would have been more effective, or I planned it. You know, I don't think we can keep this guy unblocked, and then the guy makes a play, and I go, oh, you know. So, but I think he's, you know, our return average is not as good. Our kick return average is not as good. It's the one thing on our special teams that we've got to drastically improve. But in terms of he and Deshaun and Dion, I've got to get the guys in a little better position. And then there's a little magic to making that right call at the right time, too. Even though there's a lot of balls in the air. I've experienced it before where you're clicking, you know. And they're not a bunch of calls like the offensive coordinator or anything like that. But there's that right call about where you think that ball's going to go and how you've got it set up. There's a little magic to that, too. And it hadn't happened.
Sean Gamble less on returns now where he's less likely to lose yardage, but at the same time loses the opportunity to maybe break one for 80 yards on a little bit reckless gamble?
Well, I haven't so much meant that, you know, with the ball in his hands on Sunday. I just think everything, he's done a good job of understanding the returns. He's done a good job of securing the ball. He's made good decisions. He's caught the ball. You know, it had hit the ground. He did have one negative play, where he lost some yardage on. I just think the return, I think the return yardage is down. But I don't think it's a reflection of him at all. In fact, what I'm saying is I think he's a better football player in that phase. Now, you could talk to him about offense. I don't know. In that phase, he's a better football player than he's been. If the results aren't as good, it's because I'm not putting the guys in position enough, or we got to give a little bit more to blocking. But I don't think it's him at all. Not even close. I think he's better. I think he's better than he has been.
Alex and Henry's touchback percentage is in the lower third of the league right now. Did you expect better, particularly early in the season when the weather's been mild?
You know, everything I'm saying probably is a little bit like, where's this guy coming from? But I think he, in my mind anyway, I didn't think he would kick off as well as he's kicking off. I think the reason his touchback percentage isn't higher is because our starting point, our defensive starting point after a kickoff is pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not bad. I'm trying to think. I think it's 11th in the league. Not great, but it's pretty good. That's because a lot of people bring the ball out against us. He'll kick that thing 7-8 yards deep. And people have brought it out. So he doesn't necessarily get the touchback. But you know, we had a couple of games just recently, big kicks too against Buffalo. You know, they started at the 10-yard line. Last week against Washington, once they started at the 10-yard line. Well, the kid brought it out from 8 yards deep. I don't know, you know, Alex can't do anything about that. Now, maybe it's a reflection. People think our coverage isn't good enough that they can afford to gamble. So, you know, would I like him to kick it 8 yards deep every single time? Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't. But he's done okay. I mean, he's done okay. I mean, remember one of the question marks on him, because he didn't kick off in college. He had not been a kickoff guy. And that was a perceptive, you know, maybe this guy may not be good enough for this. Well, I think he has been. If you see where his ball lands every time. Those two I just talked about, in almost any other situation, that's a touchback.
Balls are being brought out of the end zone by not just the teams you guys have faced, but others. I mean, is the kickoff return by an opponent average misleading this year? Because
misleading. Oh yeah, it's definitely misleading. What you have to look at is the starting point. The starting point is down. The starting point is down. And that really, that's all that counts. That's all that matters. Is the starting point. I mean, you know, we had a couple of returns early in the year where, you know, we brought it out and we started at the 14, you know, and it was a 22-yard return. You know, so it's kind of how you want to look at it. You know, you can always, it was pretty, that's okay return, but not really. So look at the overall starting point and it's down. The overall average is up. There's only one reason. They're taking it out from deeper.
Coach, there's some reports that you worked out a couple punters earlier this week. Is that just an emergency list thing? Are you happy with Chase Henry so far?
Well, working out those guys, you know, remember those guys upstairs now, that personnel department with Howie and all those guys, man, they're grinders now. I mean, they're grinders. They're trying to procure talent. They're looking everywhere, man. I mean, you just passed through there one day. You got a bunch of guys. They don't leave that film room, and they're looking at everybody all the time. These two particular guys, there was a little bit of uniqueness about them that I think we just wanted to check. Nothing really to do with Chaz. Although, you know, I want Chaz to punt better. I mean, there's a couple things we've got to elevate in that phase of the game as well to – he should be the greatest defensive weapon we have on the team, because no other play pushes him further away from the goal we're defending than that play. So he should be our greatest defensive weapon. But he's got a couple things he's got to work on, but not enough where, you know, hey, let's get rid of this guy. They're always trying to procure talent. I mean, they're looking at everything and anything in this, and it might even be just to see how they'd rate him. I don't know, because I just go out there and work them out.
Bobby, is Dez Bryant a unique challenge as a punt returner because of his size and speed?
Say this again.
Dez Bryant, is he a unique challenge as a punt returner because of his size and speed?
Yeah, I think this guy, you know, a year ago we talked about him, and of course he was hurt when we were getting ready to play him. I mean, this guy is really a big-time player. I mean, tremendous, tremendous player. So, yeah, I think he's a challenge because, you know, he runs hard, he runs fast, he's tough. Everything about him is a challenge. You know, when you got a guy that unique, I mean, he's got to fit in the top talent-wise. I mean, in a league full of unbelievably talented people, he's got to be in the top 1% or 2%. So, yeah, he's a big challenge. It's got to make us play harder, though. Not let's go down there and get a tie. You know, we got to throw the leather even more. That was the last question. Thanks, fellas.
Well, there you go. That is Bobby April and his very expansive press conference, looking for more from special teams, knowing that the Cowboys come in with their own very dynamic group of return men. If the kicking game is good, they've got a rookie kicker who's made, I think, 16 straight field goals. And obviously in a big game like this, Dez Bryant, a tremendous punt return man. In a game like this, you cannot make mistakes on special teams. So it is critical for the Eagles, a very young group in the kicking game, to step up and win the battle of field position for this football team. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. It's Coordinators Day. And we're rocking and rolling here at the NovaCare Complex. Hope you're having a great Eagles Day, everybody. 2-4 Eagles against the 3-3 Cowboys on Sunday night. Jim Johnson, Eric Allen inducted into the team's honor roll. We'll hear from Juan Castillo and from Marty Mornhinweg in just a moment. Lots of things to talk to, so give us a call, 215-339-6709. Hi, Steve, what's your deal today, my man?
Oh, man.
Steve in Alabama, you know, by the way. Hey, Steve, what's up?
I've been in so many arguments with Dallas Cowboys fans this week, man.
What are they saying? Do they think they're the be-all, end-all? The bee's knees?
Just put it like this. At the end of the day, they're talking, how many championships do we have? And I'm like, okay.
Well,
I'm like, well,
you have a point.
We get settled on Sunday, you know?
You got to take it game by game. I refuse to woof. And I'm not a fan. I will not woof about the Eagles until this franchise wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That is all that matters. I love the team. I think it's going to be a good team for a long time. Let's be honest. Until the team wins a Super Bowl, nobody will be satisfied.
Hey, I'm right with you right there, man. I was looking at the – man, this is a – I got caught up in the Dallas, you know, Dallas sucks week and all that. But now that I look at it, man, this game is – man, this is the season right here, basically.
Until next week.
Every game is now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it'll be the Giants, and then it'll be the Bears and the Giants. I mean, it's Eagles have to go on a streak here. Let's be honest.
And that's what happens when you get in a hole.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like we win this game, we 3-4, and we're
right back
in
it.
I think Redskins are gonna lose, so that means we'll go to the second spot. So
I think the Redskins are done. Or going to be done. I think they are have had just a couple of very, very crippling injuries. When you lose Santana Moss and Jabbar Gaffney is your best wide receiver, you realize you're not going. You can't win games in the NFL 13-10 on a weekly basis. So I think the Redskins are. But I do believe the Giants are very good. I believe the Cowboys are very good.
I know this is crazy. I think the Redskins are going to go get T.O. Watch.
It wouldn't be a bad – listen, if I'm the Redskins, I wouldn't put it past them.
It wouldn't be bad for them, yeah.
From a strictly talent standpoint, yes, but do you want Rex Grossman and John Beck being abused by Terrell Owens? Does Mike Shanahan, who's trying to create a culture there of turning the culture, let's not get desperate, and Daniel Snyder playing very conservatively in free agency in the offseason – do you then turn around and bring in Terrell Owens? Talent standpoint, interest standpoint, yes. I'm not sure John Beck could throw it 45 yards and get it to T.O., to be honest with you.
So, yeah. So let's like map it out. Map it out like exactly. The Eagles have to win these three home games coming up, right?
I mean, I think so.
But they can absolutely not lose any more divisional games, of course. Is there any?
Well, I'm going to give you that if the Eagles get to 10 wins, Steve, okay, they're going to make the playoffs. Marty Mornhinweg is making his way up, so thanks for the call. If the Eagles win 10 games, they win the division. So figure that out. How do they get to that number? We shall see. Marty Mornhinweg talking Eagles offense.
All right, a little quick review on the last ball game. It was good to get a win. As you know, we had people all different positions, and I thought they stepped up and did a heck of a job. And then this week we've got just a great opportunity. It's quite a challenge. This defense, the numbers are high in virtually every category very few exceptions. They've got great skill and ability. They've got a couple of great pass rushers, starting with Ware, and then Ratliff in the middle there is excellent. And they have others as well. Their linebackers are excellent. The man from Penn State is playing at a high level. Number 50, Lee. Their secondary is very aggressive. They've made some offensive groups look real bad. And so we've got a great challenge. And we look at it as a great opportunity. We'll open up to questions.
Marty, have you ever gone up against Rob Ryan when he was in Oakland, or I don't think in Cleveland, but in Oakland when you're an offensive coordinator or head coach?
There's been a couple occasions we've run into each other. But...
Is that something you just kind of have to go in and assume is going to happen?
Well, it's the threat of the blitz. He will blitz. And he'll move people over in unusual ways. He'll move people sort of uncommon. You see a little bit of it from some teams. He does it a little bit more.
Marty, going into the third preseason game, the offensive line that you expect to have for this Sunday was the one that you were hoping to have back then. How important is that going to be moving forward that you finally have the right line?
Well, I'm proud of the guys up front now. We've made some big moves. We've had guys playing all different positions and new players stepping up and playing well. So the key is the continuity and try to get to the big old line a few reps together will be important in the long run.
How do you evaluate Mike Vick's season to this point?
Well, I think he's been tremendous in many aspects. There's several plays, more than a handful of plays that we'd like to have back. That's my responsibility to put him in good spots. And so, on one hand, I think he's probably still on schedule to do something the quarterback's never done, and passing and rushing together. And then on the other hand, you'd like to have some more wins. And so. We've turned the ball over and tipped passes and, guy not blocking the right guy led to a turnover, things like that. So we've got to play better as a unit for the quarterback continue to progress.
Marty, what can Michael do better when he's getting blitzed?
Well, there's several things. It depends on what protection we're in, what the blitz is, and what route we have, all those things, and it's different on every play. Mike's been excellent his whole career in taking care of the ball, and some of them has just been some tip balls, and he got hit a couple times right as he threw. A couple of those happened, and that led to turnover. So working through it, I've identified several things that he can get better at, and so... He's our whole offense. I told him this a couple of weeks ago. 90% of our offense is just outstanding. I mean, we're moving and grooving, and then 5% is okay, and then the other 5% we're turning the doggone thing over. And so it's just crystal clear that was a big problem, and they were coming from different problems. We had some fumbles, and we had some. And I just covered a few others, some tip balls, and some. We ran into a couple of defenses that were very opportunistic. They did a heck of a job there as well.
Marty, when you do self-scouting during the break, you guys, the biggest problem in a lot of ways is you look outstanding for two quarters, different ones in different games, but don't put four together. Have you figured out maybe the biggest reason why that's been the case?
Yeah, you'd like to put four together, and, every game's different, but there are momentum swings in virtually every game, and so you have to work right through the dips. And there's been several occasions where I thought we could have done a better job there. So that's a good point.
Have you looked at the tip balls? Does it do something with the passing lanes?
Everyone's different. Every tip ball has been different. There's several different things that happened on different plays when it occurred. And so we've looked at that. We've practicing it. And I just making it real simple. If we play just a little bit more consistent, a little bit better, those things will be minimized, you know.
Are you confident that that's?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've got good players, and we've got we practice hard. The players are putting the hard work and the preparation in, and so, like I said early in the season, we're going to be a work in progress for just a little bit, but at some point, I would expect to our offensive line and our tight ends and backs and receiver and the whole unit to be one of the very best.
You seem to have more three-step drops against Washington. Some of the players indicated that it wasn't really the kind of focal point of the game plan going in. It kind of just happened that way.
There were several that were planned, and there were probably a couple more because of what they were doing. You know, the Redskins, we play them again, so I don't want to say too much here, but, you know, they played us different virtually every game we've played them with that staff. And so it's been different every game. So when you go into that ball game, there's several different things that we were expecting. Well, we got certain coverages, and so that enabled us to.
Why have you done that more with Michael? Is it because it's just not something that? Why haven't you done more three-step drops before
we've done
with
a lot,
Michael?
Yeah, we've done a lot of three-step drops.
Marty, this is the seventh game of the season, but because of your record and the situation, does it have the feel of a playoff game? Does it have that sense of urgency?
Well, anytime you play the Dallas Cowboys, it has that feel. So, you know, we've discussed it the last couple of times we've got together. You know, Dallas Cowboys coming in Sunday night, South Philly, where would you rather be? And so, there's the players are quite motivated.
Jay Ratliff, he's not as big as some of the other nose tackles you might face, but obviously does a good job. What does he do without having that same size as some of the other guys there in the league?
Well, I think he's one of the great players in the game at the inside there, you know, nose and tackle. Typically, when you have one of the great players in the game, he's got it all. He's got strength and quickness and speed. He's got all the techniques down. He's got some great moves, and he's a powerful man, and he's got after some centers. So we've got quite a challenge there with our rookie center.
I see a nose in a 3-4 who's 290, 290, whatever. I mean, usually that's a 350 guy. Is he just kind of that rare type of athlete, different breed that can play that position at that size?
Yeah, there's two things. You know, some 3-4s, they want the bigger guys, you know, and then second, I think he can play in any defense. I don't care if it's the nose or defensive tag, he'd probably play fullback, you know. Really? He's a heck of a football player, and you know the great ones can play in any type of scheme.
Marty, you mentioned you know the Dallas Cowboys week. There's that rivalry there. Is that any easier? Do you get a little bit more out of preparation when the defensive coordinator says that they're going to beat your ass when they play you? Or?
We don't get into any of that. Really, we don't. We're concerned about ourselves. We're concerned about our preparation and our hard work, and that's it. And we try to stay focused there. We don't get into any of that. You know this ball club, and we and there's reasons for that, and our players know it, and stay very focused.
Marty, do you see Ronnie Brown's role changing at all the rest of the season? And I kind of probably weren't expecting him to still be here, but now that he is, how do you handle
things work in mysterious ways sometimes, and I would expect him to help this ball club moving on. I think both of our backs behind LaShawn are excellent. They're ready to play. They're well prepared. I think highly. I've got great confidence in Ronnie.
Why hasn't he been a factor to this
point? Well, LaShawn, you know, what do you have? 28 carries. It's you know, LaShawn's playing so well. He's in great shape. He hasn't got fatigued. So there you have it.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Marty Morningwig, Eagles offensive coordinator, addressing the media there. Yeah, Rob Ryan did talk a little bit about the Eagles, didn't he? I guess I don't believe in bulletin board material. I think you're motivated or you're not motivated. Let's keep it there because I like to see what really happens behind the scenes. See how exciting this stuff is, guys? Jeff Skaversky from Channel 6, 6ABC, getting the exclusive chit-chat with Marty Morningwig. I love it. Juan Castillo, the final piece to the puzzle here on Eagles Live, Coordinator's Day. I wonder what Jeff Skaversky's talking about. Anyway, let's go to Patrick in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Hi, Patrick. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Great, thanks. How are you?
Doing good. Just wanted to... What did you think about the whole Asante thing?
Well, we addressed this earlier. I was disappointed that Asante said it, first of all. I was glad that he apologized. Long-lasting ramifications, I really don't know. Remains to be seen. I mean, there's nothing to be gained when you speak out on an individual basis to the media, and Asante should know that. This is right. This team is not about one guy.
Absolutely.
Great football player,
with
all
you
that.
In that sense, but is he justified in being frustrated?
Why would he be frustrated?
Well, because wasn't he on the trading block?
According to reports. Isn't everybody on the trading block when it comes right down to it?
Yeah. I mean, he shouldn't take it personally, but at the same time, well, do you think he's been the best corner this year?
No.
Who do you think has been?
On this team? Nnamdi.
Nnamdi?
Oh, yeah. Nnamdi's played well. I mean, I think we all expected
Nnamdi.
Played
well in the Redskins game.
And he played well earlier, too. Roddy White had how many catches against him?
True. Roddy White was very quiet. You know,
I mean, the wide receivers down the field have not hurt the Eagles other than Victor Cruz, who in zone coverage, look, had Nnamdi gone up and gotten that jump ball, which he should have, I understand that. We wouldn't be questioning Nnamdi very much at all. What other catches have been made against him? I think Brandon Gibson had a diving catch along the sidelines for the Rams. Really not very many catches against number 24.
So yeah, valid point.
But I mean, my thing is, why would Asante Samuel be upset? As I said earlier, name anybody in this organization. I mean, we talk football. You guys were talking. It's different for them. I'm talking Andy Reid, Joe Banner, Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, Juan Castillo. Who has criticized Asante Samuel once this offseason? Nobody. Or the season. Nobody. So, I don't think we should be saying that it's been a really tough go for Asante. I don't know where his frustration comes from. Honestly, he wasn't traded.
Okay, fair enough. And then another thing I want to touch upon. Before the coordinator's press conference, we were talking about the Giants and the Cowboys, and you said that you thought the Giants were a good team. Do you think they're more of a threat than the Cowboys?
I think the schedule is very difficult for the Giants. I think they have a really good front on defense. I think they run the football well. And combine those two, that's a formula that generally gives you victories down the stretch.
Right.
But I think the Eagles I think the Eagles, if they play the game that I think the Eagles can play, I think the Eagles can beat anyone. But I haven't seen 60 minutes of what I expect from this team yet.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, does that make sense, right? I want to see.
Yeah, we still haven't fully blossomed. We still haven't fully come out.
No. Hey, give me a prediction real quick before Juan Castillo goes up.
Prediction, I would have to say 24-17 Eagles.
All right, thanks. Let's go to Juan Castillo, defensive coordinator.
Juan, do you feel the run defense turned the corner in the last game against Washington a little bit?
Yeah, we feel like we improved, you know, and again, like we said, it's an every day, you know, we'll get better after today's practice. You know, we got better after yesterday's practice, working on certain fundamentals.
Well, the cornerbacks, I think, only have two interceptions between them at this point, which may be lower than a lot of people expected. What are you seeing there, and What kind of confidence do you have that that's going to change soon?
Well, you know, I think sometimes some of that has to do with, you know, with the kind of players they are and how much they're throwing at them and or where they're trying to throw at. You know, I think you saw last week where Washington was trying to throw and the safeties did a good job. I think it just goes, it's the same thing as sacks. You know, sacks are not just the D-line, it's the coverage. It's the tight coverage that helps the quarterback hold the ball and helps with the sacks.
Coming off a good performance against Washington, would it have been better to get right back out there, or just did having the break come at a good time because you can fine-tune some things and reevaluate and just figure out what was really going on, what the difference is? And...
Well, I think the nice thing was that really it came halfway. You know, we've been in camp. I think we were in camp for, I can't even remember how many games now. You know, we had four preseason games or weeks. So it really is coming at midpoint. So I think it was a good opportunity for our guys to get a little rest, you know, and for us to pick up some of our other guys.
Some of the players were saying yesterday that stopping the run against the Cowboys is different from stopping it against the Redskins because of the blocking scheme. How would you quantify that? Like, would you say the Cowboys go more north-south?
You know what it is, right? You know what it is, Les, is it's really the way people talk about schemes, right? And there's different kind of schemes, okay? There's outside zone scheme. Even though people make a big deal, all outside zone schemes basically the same. Some people run it better because they do it more. Inside zone schemes. All right, gap schemes or powers and counters. Double teams at the point of attack with a kick out and a lead guy. All right, then you have lead schemes. You know, lead draws, kind of like what the Cowboys have. You have misdirection type play. So this is a team probably that uses a little bit of everything. You know, the Redskins were basically an outside zone team. That's what they did. That's, you know, and they were pretty good at that. That's what they did. Cowboys use a little bit of each scheme. So we're having to take time, you know. We're fortunate that we had Monday where we worked on a certain part of their running attack. So we're trying to break down the schemes and so we can stop that run.
Well, what kind of a runner is DeMarco Murray?
You know, I mean, watching him, you know, I mean, he broke a lot of tackles. He's fast, elusive. I mean, he you know, in the Rams game, he looked special.
You know. How do you balance that when you have a good run attack like that, but then, you know, three pretty prolific weapons and Tony Romo throwing to the
team? I think the first thing you have to do is you know, I think, you know, that's been done in the NFL for a long time. First thing you got to do is you got to stop the run. You know, once you stop the run, then you go to the second step. And then you start having to take care of those, you know, those great skill guys that they have. First thing we have to do is we have to stop the run.
How much of a lift is that, Trent Cole back on the defense?
You know, we've talked about Trent before. He's a special guy. You know, just the energy in the huddle. And then he plays at a high level. You know, him and Jason... It's hard. I mean, both those guys are, I mean, they're, you know, you have 100% and then you have Trent Cole, Jason Babin percent. You know, it's different. And both those guys, I mean, they're both at that speed. So what it is they bring everybody up to their pace.
You guys know how important it is to carry over the steps they made from the Redskins game into the Dallas game, because if they don't, then everything that was done in the last game just...
No, John, you know, it's been a process, the whole thing. You know, I think we probably started a lot slower than we thought we would, you know, but we have a lot of new guys in that room. And I think you have to build chemistry. You know, you can say this and that, but you have to build a chemistry. That you have to care for each other. You have to know each other. I think, you know, we're almost through. We talked earlier, I guess 3 weeks ago, or, you know, it's been a while, but each guy was coming up to the front of the room at the beginning of the meeting or at the end of the meeting and just going through something that they had gone through where, I mean, they had to be motivated. They had to suffer. They had to, you know, an obstacle. So still, there's still probably about 10 guys that haven't gotten up. But that was our way of getting to know each other. Nam went in front of the group. You know, I mean, really, not everybody gets to know Nam, but he shared with us. You know, today, Derek Landry shared with us. I talked to you about JP. I talked to you about Cullen. Well, you know, that's all. You know, it's just like tackling. You say, well, you know what? Tackling is, you know when you miss a tackle, it hurts everybody. Well, you know what? Once you know, John, if you know the person next to you, you know, you're going to, when you sit in that spot, you're going to be, there's certain things you're not going to do because you care about that person, you know? So that's what we're trying to build, you know, and we feel that every week, every day, we're getting closer and closer.
Chemistry. Asante Samuel's remarks yesterday, do you think those have any effect on the team at all?
Well, Les, you know what? We've been grinding. You know, Cowboys got a great offense. You know, and I wish I could tell you that I knew exactly what Asante. I don't know. But I know Des Bryant and Miles. I know where they line up, and I know how fast and how good they are. You know, I know about that offensive line. You know, those are really the kind of things that we're focusing. And with Asante in the classroom, that's really what we've been working on.
Are they, when you talk about Austin, you talk about Bryant, and then add Witten, are they the three most physically imposing receivers that you face?
Well, I would say yes. And when you throw Tony in there, you know, I mean, they're, you know, and then with them trying, I think that's why they're trying to run the ball. You know, if you just go in and you say, you know what, you're just going to stop the passing game, I think that's a little easier to do. But I think that's why – and, you know, Jason is trying to run the football, you know, because if they're successful running the ball and you have to put basically eight guys in a box, you're going one-on-one. Now you're playing up to his, what he wants to do, you know. So I think that's the key. I think that's why he's trying to run the football.
How would you evaluate Asante's play through this point of the season with one interception and if there's any unhappiness? Maybe people on the outside are trying to tie those two things together. But what do you see?
You know what? What I've seen from Asante is that, you know, Asante works hard. You guys, sometimes you guys are out there. You see him in the classroom. He's great. There's a lot of knowledge there. You know, we go through. I mean, we were working on third down this morning. You know, and we look at the tape. We talk. And there's certain things that we try to do. And then Asante's, oh man, that's. Oh yeah, we can do that. Oh, that's a little hard. Here's the way I look at it, and we work together, and you know, like I said, I think part of this is that our corners are good. You know, I think that people are picking at other areas on our defense.
Is he a better fit for a defense that blitzes more, like Jim Johnson's defense did when he originally?
Well, you know, he's a good cover guy, so I think when you look at it, Les, we talked about this earlier, is that when you look at those 18 sacks, you know, it's easy to say, well, you know what, that's 18 sacks by the D-line. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's 18 sacks also with slash secondary. Because if a quarterback goes back, and we talked about this earlier, watch it on TV. When you all watching TV, when a quarterback goes back and takes five steps under center and he plants and throws, or he takes five steps, plants and hitches, I don't care how good a line you are, defensive line, you're not going to get there. You may hit him. If he takes a hitch, or he's in the gun, he takes three steps, plants and throws. He takes three steps, hitches and throws. You're not going to get there unless the secondary makes the quarterback hold the ball. If the quarterback holds the ball for two hitches, then the good defensive lines are going to get there.
Is it when you're defending all these receivers that you show numerous looks, different looks at them to keep them confused throughout the game?
Well, I think that's very important. But I think that the important part of that is it's not about all the different looks. It's the way you play in the coverage. I mean, they've really done a great job of picking apart certain coverages, you know, so hopefully we can stay away from those coverages.
Juan, what kind of a leader is Asante Samuel? What kind of a teammate, a leader is he?
No, he's a leader by example. By example. I mean, that guy, he's out there early. Now, you have to remember, you know, the thing about Asante, we look at Asante and we say Asante is a four-time Pro Bowler. Asante was, let me see, fourth-round draft pick now. All right, so now a fourth-round draft pick to, you know, a guy that's intercepted more passes than anybody else in the last 4 years. Now, I'm going to tell you, he had to work his butt off to get to where he is. That's the type of guy. Matter of fact, if you go into our defensive meeting room, you'll see his picture right there. He's one of the examples that I use. He's right there intercepting the ball. We talk about turnovers. Trent Cole is on the other side. We talk about hitting the quarterback. Those are two of our leaders right there.
Juan, do you have to talk to him about channeling that energy, that unhappiness onto the field and say, just
take it out on the football field? Do you have to talk to him about that?
You know what? He's a competitor, man. He's going to do that. You know, and I mean, I think he uses certain things to motivate him. I mean, he's a competitor. I mean, I don't know. You know, we have a lot of good competitors, and he's one of the best. You know, you see it on the field. You see it on game day. I mean, he's a competitor. You know, he doesn't want to lose at anything.
Thanks, Juan. Locker room is open.
Well, I think that Juan Castillo actually handled that very well. And a lot of Asante Samuel questions, clearly. I guess, is it over? Well, we'll get an outside perspective here shortly. As Adam Kaplan, I believe. Although, I have not seen him today, so I think he's coming in today. It's his usual routine. Making his way into the Xfinity studio here, Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Eagles getting ready for the Dallas Cowboys. And indeed, Adam Kaplan up next here. Let's take a break. When we return, a little different perspective. We break it down, Eagles, Cowboys. What does all of this Asante Samuel brouhaha mean? We'll find out in just a bit.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Eagles, Cowboys, huge game on Sunday night. Dave Spadaro with you here, joined by Adam Kaplan, our NFL reporter. Adam, Eagles have had a week off. How much does that help going into a game against a Cowboys team that just dismantled the Rams last week?
I mean, theoretically, based on the way the Eagles played against Washington, it was a huge win for them. They probably wanted to play the next week. But as we know, Andy Reid, 12-0 after the bye, probably came at the right time because I think that four-game losing streak open up a can of worms. There are a lot of things they needed to improve on. And that's the thing. When you get the players out of the building and you could, and the coaches could just watch the tape and watch the cut-ups, they're going to learn a lot more than probably they didn't know before. I mean, they think they know it all. They knew it all, but there are probably things that they found that they'll correct going forward. Now, transitioning to Dallas's win last week, what can you say? I mean, I know the Rams are terrible.
The record shows it.
Yeah, they're bad. But the fact of the matter is they're an NFL team. Dallas executed. We learned a lot. You'll see in our film room piece on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Yes.
Eagles Live.
No, it's on the Eagles Nightly tonight.
I can't remember all the name of these shows. Yes.
Right. The front seven.
Oh,
is
my
the
goodness
piece
gracious!
Tonight.
Yeah. Let's talk about in Dallas's front seven dismantled AJ Feely with Eagles, you know very well. So what they like to do is very simple. It's Rob Ryan, who basically does what Rex Ryan does. Pre-snap, a ton of stuff. This puts a big burden, and we're going to show this with Tony Romo. We're going to show this with A.J. Feely and kind of what they do. They're doing a lot of stuff.
It puts lot of burden on Michael Vick to identify and adjust.
Tons, I'm telling you. Pre-snap, this is what I love. Pre-snap, they go with the amoeba defense. What is the amoeba defense? It's what Green Bay does with Dom Capers. Nobody with their hand down. Pre-snap.
So they're moving around. Right. They're walking guys all around.
Pre-snap, and you're going to see that. Ironically, it's funny you say that. That's exactly what you're going to see pre-snap. Post-snap, 5-6 guys coming in. That's a lot to process. Mm-hmm. The processing of information is huge. You know the coaches are getting Vic's head. See your hots are. Get rid of the football. He's got to do that. He cannot hold on to the football. That's been his biggest issue this season.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of the football.
Eagles do have a good matchup, though, against, I think, the Dallas offensive line. It is not a great offensive line. They have had some injuries. They've got some youth. They've moved a lot of pieces around. How do you see that matchup, Adam?
Yeah, I think Dallas's offensive line is not the most athletic line. I think they're trying to get that with Tyron Smith. But historically, they don't move all that well. I think you're right with getting Trent Cole back. And I thought Jason Babin talked about this. I thought this was a great point he made. I think it might have been on Daily News Live on Monday on Comcast Sportsnet, that basically we now have that, you know, he talks about getting the second wave of defensive linemen now. These guys, nobody has to play 60 plays, although, you know, Cole usually is going to be up there.
Yeah.
The depth now at defensive end, they're all going to be ready. They're all going to be there. And it's to the point now, this is a great problem to have for Juan Castillo and Jim Washburn. I mean, and defensive tackle-wise, they've got good depth. And Derek Landry has really played well.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. And Derek Landry is very fast. And you see Trent Cole is fast and Babin's fast. You're right. This is a good matchup for the Eagles defensive line.
How legit is DeMarco Murray? And I mean, are we looking at the run as the first priority here?
I'm telling you right now, there's another one you're going to see on Eagles Nightly this week. We break this run down, and there are fascinating elements to it. Greg Cosell shows you each part of the run, the blocking, the delay draw, which that is the key, Dave. You know, not breaking anything is huge for them.
Yeah.
Eagles can't break bottles on the field. They can't do that. But the fact of the matter is, I'm telling you, that run was great. But DeMarco Murray, who the Eagles in had for a pre-draft visit, he's a straight-line physical runner. You see there, it's a great visual.
The Rams didn't tackle, though. I will say this.
He's physical, though. He puts your shoulder down, but I'm telling you, does not play to his time speed.
Look at those holes.
Well, nice cut, but watch him labor here. I'm telling you, he's not that fast. He really is not.
He didn't labor too much there, Adam.
No, but you'll see it. If you keep showing every single run he had, he doesn't play to his time speed.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what I love. Physical, gets yards after contact. That is a big thing in the National Football League. You got to do that, man.
I think one of the adjustments here, the Eagles obviously need to score touchdowns in the red zone. I always find it interesting coming back from the bye week, what subtle changes we see that we didn't see maybe in the first six games. There will be some different nuances here.
Offensively, and I'm going to continue to harp on this until it's consistent, Brent Celek continues to get open. He got open last week. Michael Vick hit him sometimes. If you want to run a West Coast offense, you saw with Cobb, you saw with McNabb, get the tight end involved because then you become harder to defend. Then the defense has to worry about everything that you do. I'm sick of hearing about Brent Celek's in the block. It's not all the time. Brent Celek is out there a lot. Vick has to go with what he sees. And part of what he sees is Brent Celek. He's not pulling the trigger enough. And I think what the coaches are going to show him and continue to show him, look, we're designing it well. You got to get rid of the football. What else could we see? The screen game, I think, not enough. Are they doing it? Yes, but not enough. I'd like to see that offensively.
Our team, if you're a defense, wouldn't you key on Shady McCoy and try to take away that screen game? That's such a huge part of the offense.
Circle screens. You know, the arrow routes, when they send the back out, you don't see a lot of that. The wheel routes, I'd like to see more of that stuff. Those are the kind of plays that I think they could run more. I mean, McCoy's been phenomenal. You could argue that he's one of the four or five best players in the first half in the National Football League on offense, but it doesn't always have to be so much about him. How about getting DeSean Jackson the ball a little bit more? I understand there are certain things he does really well, but you know what? He takes the top off the defense and turn the tape on from last year. He destroyed Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, and Jeremy Maclin, I love the way they're using him. They've done a really good job with him, who's also very underrated.
Where's this kicker? Where'd he come from that the Cowboys have? He's
the Bailey kid. Holy
16
smokes.
16 straight field goals? I mean, what's going on
there? And they have the Ferris Bueller kid, who's the kickoff specialist. Right. David Buehler, who's been hurt, but or Buehler is actually the way that you pronounce it. I'll tell you what, this kid's very accurate. He's got a really big leg. He's done a great job. Defensively, though, I mean, you got to handle DeMarcus Ware and Spencer.
Of course.
Sean
Lee. I think the Eagles at tackle with Harriman's and Peters, athletic, solid veterans, good players, might be able to handle that pretty nicely.
And you'll hear Dan Klecko and I talk about that on Eagles Mashup on 6ABC, and I know that you guys run the segments on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We talk about specifically that, how the fans are completely wrong about this offensive line, because I'm watching every play over and over. This offensive line's coming together. You mentioned Peters coming back. Peters is playing at a Pro Bowl level, the best that he's played here before he got hurt.
Peters, right.
Yes, Peters.
Harriman's is too.
Todd's playing very well. I've mentioned him on my Twitter
account. How's Kelsey? Yeah.
Kelsey's playing well. And Watkins played better this last game. He's not there yet. He makes some mental errors, but you could see the physicality and how he finishes off blocks, which is very underrated in the National Football League. This line is going to be elite, I think, as we get along here. I think there's a lot of optimism now going forward, coming off to the bye. But I'm telling you what, you watch this Dallas offense, and you start saying, how am I going to stop them?
Adam, what would you do with Nnamdi Asamoah? Would you keep him on the right cornerback position?
I've talked a lot about this with people. Some people don't agree with me. People are going to think I'm crazy. I stick him on Witten.
There's no doubt.
I stick him on Witten because I'm telling you what, another one you're going to see on Eagles Nightly when we show Witten. This guy sets people up. I mean, he is so good. It's not about speed. It's about being physical. Asamoah, 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the only guy who could possibly do it. Now there's going to be a big premium here. Look at the receivers.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant, 6'2.5". Miles Austin, 6'2". Laurent Robinson has been a great pickup. He's now their third receiver, 6'2". Santi Samuel's a small corner. Rodgers Kamara is going to have to be on the field a lot, I think.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and in fact, I'm going nickel quite a bit in this game.
They'll run against the nickel, of course.
Sure.
They do.
And the thing is, you say what you want about Romo. He sells that delay draw big time. And you're going to see on that downhill run that they have with Murray, you got to be disciplined.
What is the fallout here moving forward of Asante Samuel's decision to speak to the media yesterday, compounding the conversation he had with the media the previous week?
He is a professional. This guy turns 31 in January. He knows better than this. I don't have a problem with the first thing that he said on 97.5, but this one is nonsensical. This is Dallas week.
Mm.
Every game here, it's not like this team is 5-1 or 5-2. This team's 2-4. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, is there going to be a fallout? Because I think the players respect him so much, they get it. In years past, Dave, I think they would have been affected by this. It's a different culture here. And you know what it is? They back Andy Reid, and this is what Samuel said, which is fascinating. He made his comments about the front office. That's one thing. But you see how much respect very childish. I think it was absurd. And by the way, Asante, memo, guess who makes the personnel decisions? The head coach? Okay? If he was going to be traded, it's because Andy Reid decided so. I think Asante ought to get that. You know, don't blame the other two guys that he threw under the bus. They have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Howie does what Andy tells him what to do, and that's what Samuel needs to understand.
Eagles win this game, Adam?
You know, I have the Costanza theory. Every game I pick except for the first game, I've been wrong.
Stick with it.
Well, I'm going to pick Dallas. Okay, well.
Pick the Dallas Cowboys then.
For this show, I'll
looking
pick Dallas.
Looking good.
24-20, I'll pick Dallas. How about that?
Adam Kaplan, NFL reporter, thanks for joining us right here in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going? Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking, he's being chased, he gets out of the way. He runs, he pumps, he fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We welcome you in. Dave Spadaro here. It's Eagles Live. By the way, we have a great setup for you on Sunday. Eagles play the Cowboys, of course, the kickoff at about 8:20, but we'd love you to check in to PhiladelphiaEagles.com starting at 6 p.m. We've got the press conference featuring the Hall of Fame and the honor roll inductees here for 2011, Eric Allen, former Eagles cornerback, and Vicki Johnson, the wife, the widow of the late Jim Johnson. Then we begin our coverage with the Eagles Television Network broadcasts at about 6:30 or so. Our kickoff show starts at 7:45 with Chris and Bo. At halftime, we are live from Lincoln Financial Field, our halftime report, as Allen and the late Jim Johnson are inducted into the team's honor roll. After the game, the great Ike Reese joins me in the postgame show presented by Rico. So join us. Busy day today. I think the Eagles have handled this Asante Samuel thing pretty nicely. Smooth. I'm looking in the locker room on one of my cameras here, and it's been relatively empty. I think the players are not interested in talking to the media. That's a live look at... let's see what that's a live look of. Somebody's locker. I don't know. But there you have it. Not a lot of guys talking today. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. We're going to get some Namdi Asamoah for you. Last night, we held for the season ticket holders periodically, the Eagles hold what's called a fan forum. And fans are invited to call in and have a player or an executive or somebody on the line and answer questions. Well, last night it was cornerback Namdi Asamoah's time to do so. And he was great. Very much into the conversation with the fans. We had thousands of fans who joined us, so thank you very much for that. Let's go to that now, a little audio file of Namdi Asamoah, who has said some pretty interesting things about the defense, the coverage, how they played in Washington, and a whole lot more about him being a Philadelphia Eagle.
Let's begin with one of our younger Eagles fans. Danny Danko joins us. Danny, good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Do you have a question for Namdi?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Hi. I was just wondering, how are you going to approach Dez Bryant and Tony Romo?
Well, you know, the approach is to go out and disrupt this offense as much as possible. I think they're loaded on offense with talent. You know, obviously Dez is a good young player, and we've got Miles Austin, Jason Witten, and they've been running the ball well as of late. You know, so that's been good for them. I think as long as we disrupt what they're doing on offense, maybe getting in Tony's face a little bit, that'll help us out definitely this game.
Now we go to Naples, Florida. Season ticket holder from Naples, Florida. Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I used to be a college basketball coach. I understand, Namdi, how important it is to change defense. However, we seem to be blessed in terms of personnel with multiple people who are very talented at playing man-to-man defense. And it appeared that against the Redskins, we played more man and less zone. And my only conclusion I can come to is that that's maybe we should be thinking about doing that the rest of the season. Second half of the question, and then I'll stop, is Jason Witten has killed this team over the years. And I'm concerned about Jason Witten roaming free underneath whatever coverage we're doing. Do you feel that we're adequately prepared to deal with him in particular on Sunday night?
Okay. The first question was about the Redskins game. Actually, we may have played in the Redskins game more zone than we had in any other game all year. I think the Rams game was the most man-to-man that we played, and the Redskins game was much more zone and allowing our safeties to
I guess you can tell I'm not a football coach then.
No. You're probably listening to what the experts are saying on TV. They probably aren't watching the film. But we played a lot more zone against the Redskins, and our safeties were able to stay deep, and that's how they were able to make a lot of the plays that they made.
Right.
And it worked out. And the thing with the zones are, the more you do them, the better you are at them. When you go into you start a season, and you're learning a new zone in a defense, and you don't have the off season to learn it, it's not going to look great, you know, your first time in, because you're playing off of each other. And I think now we've had some games under our belt, and that's why it's starting to look a lot better. But no, the Redskins game was more zone than it was man. And then the second question was about Jason Witten. Yeah, we have we definitely know what he's done to the team in the past, so we're going to give them a couple different looks and give him a few different looks too, so that he's not getting the same read or the same guy every time. So we definitely have our eyes on him, and we want to take him away.
And Mike, welcome to the fan forum here on with the Philadelphia Eagles. You're here with Nnamdi Asamoah.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Welcome to Philly, Nnamdi.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And my question is, with all due respect, the AFC and the Raiders in that division wasn't as competitive as the East is. And my question is, what does this rivalry between the Cowboys and the Eagles mean to you?
I think the division was much more competitive in the beginning of my career when I was over. I think maybe from 03 to maybe 06 or so. I know Denver was playing really well. They were a playoff team. San Diego was a playoff team with LT. But you're right. Today it's not even, you know, I don't even, they're not close. You know, this is the best division, I think, in football. And I don't know the Cowboys that well. I've only played them once. You know, I've played them in preseason. So I don't know them that well. I know that it's a huge, you know, rivalry here. And I think every team in the division is, but the way that everyone talks about Dallas in this division is like, this is, you know, the game. This is the team that everyone hates in this division. So this will be my first taste of seeing them, you know, with the Eagles uniform on, and, you know, everybody wants to go out and destroy them.
Go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day.
Get the Super Guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Forty years, 14,610 days, 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reed, wife of Eagles head coach Andy Reed. And we're the Eagles Women's Association. Each year for many families, Thanksgiving means football and lots of food. But as the Eagles family joins together, some families will be less fortunate. To help fight hunger in our area, the Eagles Women's Association is teaming up with the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive, benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for November 13th when the Eagles take on the Arizona Cardinals. We're asking fans to bring non-perishable foods to the Cardinals game and drop them in collection bins on their way into the stadium. Thanks to everyone who donated last year. And let's try to make this year's collection, everyone,
the best yet!
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you here, Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We go live again tonight with Eagles Nightly at 7 o'clock. We go inside the film room and talk about the Cowboys and that dangerous front seven on defense. For now, we take some phone calls. Let's go to New York and talk to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
Very well.
Good.
First off, I just want to say the Cowboys suck.
Yes, please.
Get off my chest.
Yes.
You know, I hate them more than any team in the NFL, and I think most Eagle fans will say that.
You live in New York, in Giants country, and you hate the Cowboys more than any team in the NFL.
Without a doubt, and I can tell you, 90% of my Giants fans, they hate the Cowboys more than they hate the Eagles.
You know, I probably agree with you. It's the whole America's team thing, the smugness, I can't stand that star, man.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of our, like, losses that just sting you come from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
A lot of bad memories.
Some great wins, too, but I agree with you.
Yep.
So let's talk about this team and how the Eagles can beat those Cowboys.
I feel pretty good. I mean, for me, I feel like Felix Jones, for whatever reason, seems to be an Eagle killer, and him not being there is going to make a big difference.
I tend to agree with you.
You know, he killed us on those screens, his delayed halfback runs. Now... I think this guy having a 250-yard day last week really helps us. Now we could focus on him. If he did nothing last week, he could have snuck up on it.
Absolutely agree.
So that's something of a positive, unless this guy is just a horse in the making.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's just the next Tony Dorsett. But, you know, you're gonna go through highs and lows. The Eagles have a game of footage on DeMarco Murray. They are not going to be surprised by him, as you say. In fact, I think the defense is going to be pretty jacked up to play him. They heard all week about how great he is.
Yeah, and plus with Eric Allen and Jim Johnson, the whole ceremony, I mean, it's kind of a defensive theme for the night. So
yeah, let's do it.
It rolls into the game.
Let's go win the defense.
Yep, and then you got the whole Asante situation, so it just seems defense is the theme for the week.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, the Asante thing. I'm going to take the optimistic view and believe that it will turn out to be a positive, that he's going to have to bear down here. He has made himself into a story. My sense is that fans were not happy with Asante's speaking out. And, you know, in a court of public opinion, that can sometimes have an effect on the game on Sunday. And he's going to have to be very diligent in his preparation and go out there and play hard-nosed football, because you know the Cowboys are going to run at number 22. You know they are.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, you know, he's never been a good tackler from day one. So, unfortunately,
it's not being a good tackler that I'm interested in with him. I'm interested in him being a willing tackler. If that makes sense. I want to see him just give it an effort, use your technique, don't dip your head, and help this defense. Everybody else is tackling. Everybody else is – you have to play defense as a unit or else you are going to get exposed and give up big plays.
Yeah, that's very true.
So very true. Give me your prediction, Chris.
I was mulling this over. This is tough for me. I like Juan. This will be a good win for the Eagles. We haven't had a good win in a while. We'll say the Eagles – 33 and Cowboys 17.
Thank you very much. You know, it's true. The Eagles have not had a game since last year for sure. Who did we beat before the
I was thinking of ahead. I mean, only two teams we beat were the Redskins and Rams, which
but
really
before,
not, I mean,
before
win,
the
but
Giants
not a great
game.
Win.
Yeah, before the Giants game, who the Eagles beat? The Texans, the Colts. They were
Colts
good wins.
Colts was a good win, I thought. The Colts was a good one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. The Giants game was a comeback and steal that game, and then the Eagles played poorly down the stretch to lose three straight games. So, yeah, Chris, thank you very much for the phone call. I'm looking forward to that. A win, a quality. I wrote this 60 minutes of greatness. Let's go out there and play 60 great minutes of football. If you do that, you see what happens. Difficult to be upset if you play 60 great minutes of football and somebody else beats you. It's something the NFL Network talks about. We throw it to them about this enigmatic Eagles team, 2-4. A national perspective is always welcome, as our friends from NFL Network provide here.
Still the best athlete on the field, regardless. He's making plays, and he's left-handed, and it always presents a challenge to a defense when you face a left-handed quarterback. But not just a left-handed quarterback. He has all kind of skills, and you know, he can beat you with his feet. I mean, everybody knows it's the same stuff. You know, he can beat you with his feet. He can throw the ball. It's like a frozen rope when he throws it. He has weapons, and so it's up to us to not allow those big plays to happen.
When I think about Michael Vick, it's probably one of the fastest, most athletic guys on the field, and you got to find some way to stop him. Corral the rabbit.
For more on the Cowboys Sunday night matchup in Philadelphia, we bring in Clarence Hill from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And Clarence, as soon as game day final hit the air, Michael Irvin wanted to talk about DeMarco Murray after 253 yards on the ground. He believes he should be the starting running back in Dallas, no questions asked. What's the vibe like down there with the Cowboys?
Well, he will certainly start this week because Felix Jones is out for another week or two with that high ankle sprain. But that's the vibe for most people. Everybody's excited about the performance, the record-setting performance that Murray had against the Rams. You like what he did outside in space. He ran tough. He ran strong. He did get a little tired there at the end. But, you know, this is a guy the Cowboys liked from the beginning. When they drafted him out of Oklahoma, they thought he had a chance to be an every-down back and had the most complete game of any of their backs. They still like Felix Jones. Remember, this was the Rams' defense that was giving up 167 yards a game. There are a lot of people who believe that if Felix was healthy, he'd have had a big game as well. But, again, you know, Tony Dorsett, I talked to him yesterday. He thinks Murray's the real deal as well. They're going to see a lot more of him this week.
You don't want to label a player as injury prone, but Felix Jones has had issues staying healthy. Bad luck, or is there something to it?
Well, you know, here's a guy who's really never been an every down back dating back to high school. He shared the ball in college. You know, he was not the lead guy. He was the other guy in college. And in his first 2 years here, he was the other guy, the change of pace guy. And this year, they were trying to make him the featured guy. He's been, these injuries are really more bad luck because they're just typical injuries. I mean, a separated shoulder and a high ankle sprain, that's not a injuries of a guy being soft. Those are legitimate injuries. So right now it's bad luck. But again, that's his history, and he has to defeat that, you know, for people to think otherwise right now.
Jerry Jones expressing concerns over Dez Bryant in the punt return game.
Yeah, you know, Dez Bryant has been the Cowboys' primary punt returner. He got injured in the season opener against the Jets returning a punt with a deep thigh bruise that kept him out from punt return for the next few weeks. They had to put him back on return last week because they had no other choice because he's their best option. But Dez's problem, he's a great returner. He's a weapon like DeSean Jackson and some other guys on returns. Remember, he returned two for touchdowns last year. The problem is Dez is a wild buck. He refuses to go down. Whether it's a pass reception, whether it's a return, he refuses to be tackled, which makes him susceptible to injury. And that's what Jerry is worried about, because he won't decide this play is over, I'm going to go down. He's going to try to break every tackle, and guys are coming in trying to hit him and hurt him.
What's Rob Ryan's defensive plan of attack going to be to stop seven?
Number one, they're going to go after seven like everybody has in the past, dating back to the end of last year. You know, if you look at Vic, he was good early, but people started blitzing him, and his game has changed since then. But the key for the Cowboys is preventing the big play. They remember last year when DeSean Jackson came down here and had four receptions for 210 yards, including a 91-yard touchdown when he embarrassed him at the end of the game by doing a backward splash in the end zone. They know they have to contain Vic, but they also have to contain those big play receivers and not let someone get behind them. That's one reason why they went out offseason and signed Abe Elam. He has a huge impact on this defense with another veteran safety going wrong with Gerald Sensabaugh. The corners are playing better than they did last year. Mike Jenkins, Terrence Newman, probably the best cornerback on the team, is third corner Orlando Scandrick. They're all playing at a high level. They're feeling good. They think they're ready to handle this Eagles offense.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet. John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Chris and Bo take the reins tomorrow at 11 a.m. Let's go to the telephones and go up to New York and talk to Paris. Hey, Paris.
Hey, how's it going, Dave? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent.
I just have a question.
Yes.
Watching the Redskins game, I saw that in third down short and in the red zone, they played a lot of zero blitz, and they would just come with a lot of people on the line.
The Redskins did, yes.
Yeah. We seem to struggle against that. Do you know if the coaching staff has addressed that at all?
There was one instance when Michael threw to Jason Avant, and Jason was wide open on a post, and the throw was off target and incomplete pass. I mean, the Cowboys are going to zero blitz. You know it's coming. You know teams are going to blitz. The Eagles blitz Vic. They've got to be better, yeah. So they have worked on that, yes.
That's good, man. Watch the Redskins game. In the red zone, it seems like every time we were within 10-7 yards, they were just coming at it. And I was hoping we could fix that a little bit.
Agreed. I think that you have such a great potential to score big plays, beat down a defense, and demoralize a defense when you counterpunch against their blitz. So you know that Rob Ryan's designing all these things right now. We talked to Adam Kaplan about their pre-snap movement, the different looks that they're going to give Vic. you got to beat that because teams are not going to lay back on Michael Vick.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you my call and everything and keep up the good work, guys, all right?
Hey, give me a prediction. Yes, please.
Yeah, I'll give you one. It's, I'm thinking 28-24 Eagles.
Thanks, Paris.
All right, thanks, sir.
You got it, man. 215-339-6709. One of my favorite plays of all time. Boop, into the end zone. All he did was fall in. Why did he get penalized? There's even Cowboys fans laughing in the background. That's style right there, people. One of the best all times. Dave Spadaro with you. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. We have anything from the locker room, Ryan? Nothing. Was it quiet? What was going on in the locker room? Was it really quiet in there? We have Deshaun, right? We're going to wait for Eagles nightly tonight. Deshaun Jackson speaks. We do have the fourth annual Eagles Philadelphia Eagles blood drive to talk about, so let's do that. Eagles fans, now is the time to be extraordinary and save a life. The Eagles blood drive is on December 3rd, and all presenting donors will receive a special Eagles blanket. Visit redcrossblood.org/Eagles and register today. It's Saturday, December 3rd, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Lincoln Financial Field. It is for a great, great cause. Please, please do your part and save a life. Let's go to Julian in Maryland now. Hey, Julian.
Hey, what's happening, Dave?
I'm doing great. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good, man. Jacked up about this Cowboys show coming up here.
It's been too long, hasn't it? Feels like forever since the Eagles played a game.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. What do you think about this game? Give me a prediction, keys to the game, if you will.
Keys to me is Jason Witten.
Yeah.
Got to shut him down.
Would you put Nnamdi on Jason Witten?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think I'd put – you know what? We have to mix it up. We have to mix it up. I just don't think you can stick Nnamdi there. Too many other threats to be concerned about.
Yeah.
Got to worry about what's that, Bryant?
Miles Austin on one side, Dez Bryant. They've got a good kid, Robinson, who's their slot receiver, is a big guy, Laurent Robinson. So they have some serious weapons. I think the key is the Eagles must dominate the Dallas Cowboys offensive line. The offensive line has given up some plays. They are not a great offensive line. They've had some injuries. So get after Tony Romo. Make him throw some – get him off his spot. Make him throw some receptions.
Any indication on whether our young defensive end is going to be playing this weekend?
Yeah, Brandon Graham practiced yesterday and did not have any setbacks. So I think he feels really good. But I don't know if he's ready to go in this game quite yet. I don't know if he's ready to play in an NFL game having practiced for 1 week, having played in no preseason games, having not played football since last December. So today's a key day. He says he's not sore. He'll be on the field again today. And I imagine tomorrow at some point the Eagles will make a decision.
I just think we need a lot of pressure on Romo all day long, okay, to have any kind of effect and switch it up quite a bit with Nnamdi on Witten. And I think
it's
going to be a whole lot of pressure because Asante is the smallest defensive back we got back there.
Yeah, but
and they're going to go with them big boys over there.
Yeah, but Asante's got a lot of experience covering bigger wide receivers. So I don't – 5'11 is not a tiny receiver. He's a tremendous – got long arms. You know, very great athlete, obviously. I think – look, if it's me, and we've talked about this all week, go after him face-to-face, man-to-man. Now, what's interesting in that conference call, Nnamdi said that the Eagles actually played more zone against the Redskins than they'd played probably in the previous weeks, and they allowed the safeties over the top to make some plays. You know, what you do underneath, what you do over the top, two different things generally. But I'm sure that Juan will give a lot of different looks. And, you know, if you stop the run and you get after Tony Romo, you've got a chance to really take it to the Dallas offense.
One quick question.
Sure.
Any feedback on Jaquan Jarrett?
Yeah, Jaquan Jarrett has not played very much. I would imagine he'd be active again. He played special teams last week. I can't tell you why he's not playing. Knowledge of the defense, comfort in the defense, what kind of speed is he playing at? I don't know that. I just know that Kurt Coleman had the opportunity in Washington, had three interceptions. Nate Allen had an interception. The best safety play the Eagles have had in a long, long time.
I'll tell you, man, all year long, what I've predicted is that by game 7 or 8, as I post on the Eagles Live as Trini, is that by game 7 or 8, I was hoping to see this team start gelling and coming together. And it couldn't be better against them Dallas sucks.
Thank you.
Cowboys.
Thank you.
Couldn't be better against them boys because, let me tell you, I mean, one game at a time, but let me tell you, man, I believe in this team, and I'm hoping we put it on them this weekend with everything we got.
Yeah, the thing is, and I'm with you, and I think we all agree that it's now time to gel. And, Julian, I'm going to get your prediction here in a second. The problem is the Eagles are in a 2-4 hole. They've dug themselves this ditch. Got to get out of it. Two games behind the Giants. If they had been 3-3, pulled out one of those games, you know, you say, okay, up, down, up, down, up, down.